Today's scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Listen, I know that I do not know much of anything about farming, but this sower, this farmer in this parable today, to be honest, he is doing it wrong. So wrong. And I know that in this parable, in this illustration of the kingdom that Jesus is drawing here, I know that the sower is God, but still, listen to how he goes about his task. Some seeds fall on the path. Some seeds fall on rocky ground. Some seeds fall among thorns. Some seeds finally fall on good soil. But geez, what about preparing the ground first? What about being a little more discriminating about where we toss this seed that we say we want to grow and bear fruit? What is Jesus really trying to tell those crowds that day? What is the message in this for us today? What can we learn from Jesus when we sit at his feet as he teaches this little parable, this little illustration about the kingdom of God? Well, I think we should first start with what Jesus said this all meant, because a little bit further down in the Gospel of Matthew, he explains what it means. He says to his disciples, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart." So that is that seed that falls on that path and the bird comes and snatches up. "As for what was sown on the rocky ground," Jesus said, "this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but the person has no root and endures that word only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns," Jesus says, "this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, that is the one who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. So that is what these illustrations mean in this parable, but let's talk about what was the context, what was going on with Jesus and his ministry that he felt compelled to tell this particular story. What was he trying to teach at that moment? Because he told this parable and he told six more in quick succession to his disciples about the kingdom. So if we look in the Gospel of Matthew, the way the Gospel of Matthew tells the story of Jesus, he tells us about Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. He goes out into the wilderness and fasts for 40 days and is tempted by the devil. And then he begins his ministry. He begins to preach and heal and teach in Galilee. He preaches sermons to very large crowds. He cures the sick. He exorcises demons. And he takes these close, chosen followers, these disciples, and he just pours into them all he can teach them. All he can teach them about what faithfulness looks like, about what being in the will of God looks like. Now, Jesus is drawing great crowds of people. He is drawing great interest. As we saw in the passage today, there are so many people crowded around him that he has to get in a boat and push off from shore a little bit just to get some distance. But he's starting to receive some not so positive feedback from his ministry. And it takes all sorts of shapes and sizes. There's doubt. There's apathy. There is hostility, and there are a lot of questions. And these different reactions, they're coming from all sorts of different people. Some of them are coming from the Jewish leaders. Some of them are coming from within the crowds of people themselves, the people who have come to hear him, who have come to be healed. Some of these reactions are coming from his own family. And even John the Baptist had questions for Jesus about who exactly Jesus was. So, if you look at it this way, if Jesus had sat back and if he had thought about where he thought the seed of the Word of God was most likely to find fertile ground when he went about his ministry, where it was most likely to bear fruit, wouldn't the hearts and minds of those learned Jewish Pharisees and scribes have seemed like a likely place? Wouldn't the family who he had grown up with have seemed like fertile soil? Wouldn't the people who had sought him out and had received healing have seemed like likely candidates? Wouldn't that man, John the Baptist, who himself said that he had gone before Jesus to prepare the way, wouldn't that have seemed like the last person to have questions about who Jesus was? But they weren't. They weren't. Soil testing, fertilizing, plowing, all of that preparing, none of it was predictive of what would happen when Jesus shared that word of God. And so Jesus paints this beautiful picture in this parable about the sower God, our Father in heaven, reaching in to a bag of seed and just throwing it everywhere. Handful after handful after handful to all who might receive it. Now, in the past, when I have read or studied this parable, I have focused a lot on the landing places for those seeds, those different places that the seeds landed. I've thought about the times when I have been less than fertile soil for the Word of God. I have thought about how I have been less fruitful than I should be. I have thought about how I have let the cares and concerns of this world choke the Spirit out of me. I have thought about how I neglect spiritual disciplines, and therefore I am not well nurtured. I am not grounded in my faith when times get tough. I have focused in the past, when I look at this parable, on how I could be better soil. I've thought a lot about me in this parable, not about the sower. Now, this is the point in this sermon where, as I originally wrote it, I was going to pivot, and I was going to direct our attention back to the sower, back to that careless sower who was doing it all wrong. I was going to pivot here, and I was going to talk to you about how amazing it is that God is so extravagant with his gift, with his word, with his message. But after the events in Charlottesville last week that continue to reverberate in the news and in our conversations, and at least for me, in my mind, I think it's best that we talk a little bit more about the soil in this parable today. When I look at the condition of my heart, the soil for the Word of God, and the fruit that is growing there today, when I look at that in light of the events of Charlottesville, I believe I can say this. The seeds of the Word of God in my heart have told me for many, many, many years that all people are children of God, beloved by God. And as such, I know in my heart then that all people are due my respect, my love, and my service. And it is through this that I show my respect and my love and my service to God. I've known this for years. The seeds of the Word of God in my heart have told me, embarrassingly, only just recently in the past few years, that as a white person in this world today, I sit in a place of privilege. And I am thankful to God that He continued to try to plant that seed in me and that it finally took root. And I am thankful for the witness of a wonderful black woman who is my employee now for the last 2 years, because she has really nurtured this in me. This is a place of privilege which I never thought I sat in because of that first thing that I knew. I know that we are all children of God. I never thought I had a place of privilege because He loves us all. And the seeds of the Word of God in my heart have told me over the last few weeks that as a person of privilege who calls herself a Christian, I cannot sit back and just wait for God to work this all out. I cannot sit back and let words be said, let things be done, let injustice go on if I am to be a fruitful follower of Christ. As I look at the videos of those protesters in Charlottesville, those people who were carrying torches and saying such evil things about their fellow man, woman, and child, it strikes me how young many of them were. And it is in looking at that and realizing that I become convicted even more that I have sat in my place of privilege for my whole life and I have not done what I should do. I have remained silent in the past when I had a word to say, a word that God had placed in me. I remain silent when things like Charlottesville have come up in the past, because they have. I remain silent and did not take the opportunity, this is the first and foremost, I did not take the opportunity to talk to my own children about them. I told myself that my children were not racist. I told myself that my children had friends of all colors. I told myself that to talk to them about race would be to point out something to them that they did not know about. I allowed the world to prepare their hearts. I allowed the world to speak a word to their heart instead of letting the word that was in my heart speak to them. I sat in my place of privilege because I thought it was all okay. And I can promise you this, My coworker, the mother of two young black children, has had many, many conversations with her children about this because she has no choice. Because she knows that what the world will teach her children is not the word that God has placed in her. And I have that same responsibility. I have remained silent not only in my own home, but I've remained silent in my workplace, I've remained silent at the table with friends, and I am most ashamed to admit that I have remained silent in church. Afraid to rock the boat, I have retreated to my place of privilege and stayed silent. I have avoided certain conversations. I have left rooms. When I felt ill-equipped to confront what I knew was wrong, what I knew was hate, I just left. I felt like I was too young in the midst of people who were older than me. I felt like I was not studied enough in the Word of God to confront what they were saying. I felt like it wouldn't matter, that it wasn't going to do any good. And so I said nothing. And that is taking my place of privilege because I was someone who wasn't going to be hurt by what they were saying because I wasn't the particular color. I wasn't the particular socioeconomic status, or I wasn't the particular religion at which their hate was aimed in that moment. And so I went back to my corner, and I expected God to take care of it. Today's parable is not the parable of the soils, it's the parable of the sower. It's the parable of the sower that Jesus told when he was in the midst of increasing opposition, when he was in the midst of living his ministry and in those ups and downs of throwing out seeds that were not taking root because the planting conditions were so uncertain. It's the parable of the sower that Matthew wrote down for the early church because they were going through ups and downs as well. And it's the parable of the sower that we hear today. It's a parable about God throwing his word out for us still today, ready or not, receptive or not. God throws his word out recklessly and haphazardly, and when it does bear fruit in us, we are called to help it bring fruit in others. What the seed of the word of God has brought forth in me over my 49 years is to be used to prepare the hearts of my children for the seeds that God is scattering over them. What the seed of the Word of God has brought forth in all of us over all of our collective years on earth is to be used to prepare the hearts of the children here at the church whom we have made baptismal vows to. And it is also to be used to prepare the heart of the adults in our lives, those in our families, those we sit next to at work, those who we call friends, and yes, those who we sit next to in church. Because my brothers and sisters, our hearts are continually being prepared. The seeds are continually falling and fruit is growing, but more can be harvested if we would open our hearts to what the Word tried to tell us yesterday, but it bounced off of our hard hearts. More can be harvested if we open our hearts to what the Word is trying to tell us today that was choked out by the weeds of life last week. More can be harvested if we open our hearts to what the Word is trying to tell us today that could not get deep down enough into fertile soil in our minds in the past because we did not want to hear it. So, may we go forth from this place today, open to what the seed of the Word of God is saying to our hearts today. Cognizant of the responsibility we have as Christians to speak from the places of fruitfulness that he has nurtured within us, and thankful for this great, reckless, haphazard, doing it all wrong sower whom we call Father. May we all spread the seeds of what we have heard. May we all spread the seeds of what we have seen. May we all spread the seeds of love that the great sower has planted in our hearts. May we spread those seeds wherever we go, boldly and without fear, confronting evil with love and distributing grace and love just as our sower God does, without any fear of running out, without concern for how ready someone is to hear what we have to say, but only concerned that we offer it and that we nurture it. In this, the good harvest is assured, and we will all glimpse a piece of the kingdom. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you are so generous with your word, because our hearts are not always open. It takes us many, many tries sometimes. Keep trying, Lord. Keep trying. And help us to know that once something has borne fruit in us, it's our duty. It's our duty to share that. It's our duty to share that vision you have for the Christian community, which includes all people, all races, all genders, all people. So, Lord, help us to be a voice of hope and a voice of truth wherever we go, without fear, in the power of your Spirit, in the name of your Son. Amen.